It's game time with the legends, sports legends, Hall of Famers, and much more. It's time for the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Well, here we are again. The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show on Fox Sports Radio is now heard on both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group serving Southwest Florida. And I am your host, Mike Bird, for another hour of exciting and entertaining chatter with some of the greatest legends in the history of sports. And today, we're very privileged to have one of my heroes and a guy that I watched as a young guy growing up, Mr. Artis Gilmore. Artis, thanks so much for being a part of today's show.
Michael, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Artis, you have done many things in your career. I mean, you've had an outstanding career. You're ABA, MBA, All-Star. You're a Hall of Famer. You've been retired, and your number's been retired in quite a few places. I mean, you've done some things that, you know, the average guy can only dream of. Talk a little bit about your humble beginnings growing up in the small town of Chipley, Florida. I don't even know where the hell Chipley, Florida is. Where the hell is Chipley, Florida?
Well, you know, if you look at Florida as a whole on the map,
right,
it looks sort of like a handgun, you know, in perspective. So if the barrel of the handgun goes out to the middle and just upward, just a little bit north, I mean, south of Alabama, Dothan, Alabama. And that would put you pretty close to Chipley, Florida. So if you wouldn't go one direction, if you went west, continue west for 122 miles, you'd be in Pensacola. So if you were going south, 50 miles, you'd be in Panama City. So if you were coming east, about 85 to 90 miles, you'd be in Tallahassee, Florida. So if you're going north, it's about 32 miles to Dothan, Alabama.
One of 10 kids.
It was actually nine kids. Yes.
Nine kids.
Nine, yes.
Michael, where were you in the pecking order? Where were you? Were you in the middle, in the, you know, second, on the upper end?
Second.
You were second. Second.
Yes.
Second. So growing up, you had to be very competitive.
There's no question being competitive, most of all, just trying to survive as a family, a member of the family, because, you know, as we as kind of reviewing and looking at back at that history and what it was, a struggle for my parents, mother and father, you know, just basically to put bread on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking in terms of competitive spirit, you know, I think that was just in support of each other as a family, not thinking in terms of competing in a sports activity, because during that time, during that era, it was just some very challenging moments in the country, you know, back in the 60s and Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. So speaking in terms of a competitive spirit, you know, that was just to survive as a family. You know, there were few opportunities for black males in the country. So my father, you know, he really struggled to make things happen, you know, to support his family. And while my mother was just being a mother at home with a bundle of boys and girls, you know, just trying comfort.
And you carried that over to the high school ranks, later going to Chipley High School. But before Chipley High School, you were at another high school, and I don't want to butcher the name. What was that school?
Rowlike High School.
There you go.
Yeah, Rowlike. And during Chipley High School was the integrated school.
That's so right.
I was over there just for a short term. That was just during the process of integration. And so after a very short period of time, making a decision to go from there to Dothan, which was Carver High School in Dothan, Alabama, where I graduated from.
When did you know, when you went to Chipley High School after you made the transfer, when did you know you had something special? Because in most of the guys that I talked to that excelled in the college or the professional ranks, they knew at a very young age that they had that special something. There was an edge. There was a special gift that they had that the rest of the ballers didn't have. When did you know you had that special something?
Oh, hey, if I had to point out any particular time frame, that would probably be during the transition period from black school to the white school, and recognizing that very little exposure media that we received because of the time of segregation. So I recognized that I wanted to move forward, set an example for my younger brothers and sisters, you know, and not having the kind of things that you need, the tools within the family to be able to survive as a family.
So you had an opportunity to go after you excelled at Chipley High School. You had an opportunity to go to college, and you decided that you were going to go to Gardner-Webb. Tell our listeners a little bit about why you made that decision to go to Gardner-Webb, and then talk a little bit about your experiences, good and bad, at Gardner-Webb Junior College.
Well, I wished I could have made another decision to go to attend a four-year institution, but because such a poor development in the background of high school, it was necessary for me to attend a two-year college before moving, transferring to a four-year school, which happened to be Jacksonville University, and part of the future movement and decisions that I made as an individual, athlete moving forward.
Did you have a difficult time, Artis, making the transition from high school to junior college to four-year institution, and then four-year institution to pro?
Yes, absolutely. From high school, the transition was for the first time in my history that I'm competing against white athletes, and just injecting myself into that environment and making that transition, feeling comfortable competing against my colleagues on the floor. And then, you know, of course, the next decision to move from after, in fact, Gardner-Webb was on the verge of changing from a two-year institution into a four-year program. And so they kind of requested that me and my dear friend that we remain as part of that institution. But we had decided that we wanted to move forward to another program, and which happened to be Jacksonville University. And that's where we were able to really excel and make that adjustment into that environment.
Did you know anything about Jacksonville before you made the choice to make that transfer?
It was really ironic. I remember just coming through Jacksonville as a junior college player at Gardner-Webb. We came down and we were here traveling during the holidays, the Christmas holidays, and we played against the Naval Air Station. The only thing that we knew about Jacksonville, except it was a huge city and many great athletes from Florida A&M, like Bob Hayes and Jake Gaither, was so many of those figures, athletes, especially Bob Hayes and what he was able to do, set the first time that world record has been broken, you know, under 10 seconds. And so we looked towards Jacksonville. There, that was a kind of a larger, major metropolis where things happen. And so as far as my association having any kind of a initiation with Jacksonville, that's when that transition took place from junior college to Jacksonville University.
A lot of athletes with your talent and skill and natural God-given ability had growth spurts. Did you have a major growth spurt between high school, junior college, and pro?
I would say absolutely. I had an experience with the growth. For an example, I remember at the age of turning 18, I went to the local board, of course, to register. And during that time, they had sent many young high school kids into the military and straight to Vietnam. So I was afraid that, you know, the limit was like 6-7, and that's when they would take you off the chart. And they categorized me like a 4F. And I was so happy because I was stretching to make sure I could reach that mark. So that's the reason I know that I had just an incredible growth spurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening live to the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show. And our guest this Saturday is the one and only Artis Gilmore. And we're going to pay a few bills, Artis, and we'll be back with you in about 2.5 minutes. Stay with us.
Hall of Fame athletes exclusively here in Naples, Florida. It's only on the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Alamo Gun Range of Naples.
Welcome to the Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Are you a first-time shooter with a lot of questions and need training? The Alamo Gun Range of Naples is here for you. With our clean, comfortable, and relaxing atmosphere and a staff that's certified and trained to provide you with the answers and training you need to get started, you'll feel right at home. The Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Naples' premier indoor gun range and firearms superstore, alamorange.com.
Need to secure a loan for purchase or refinance? Call Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team of Cross Country Mortgage. Lauren Maxwell is a trusted name in Naples with over 35 years of lending experience. She has been recognized as the number one female loan originator in the state for the past 2 years. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or a seasoned investor, Lauren can help secure the right loan to suit your needs. Contact Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team. They're located at 9130 Galleria Court, Suite 101, Naples. Call Lauren Maxwell at 239-596-0500 or visit www.maxwellmortgageloans.com. The Maxwell Mortgage Team is a proud sponsor of the Naples All-Star Events Legends 4 at the Hilton Hotel in Naples. Lauren Maxwell, NMLS number 331415, Maxwell Mortgage Branch number 1770104, and Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS number 3027, an equal housing lender. Make sure to visit MaxwellMortgageLoans.com.
You've accomplished much in life. You want the very best, and that may include high-end art for your home or office. Look no further than Balanced Images. Balanced Images specializes in high-end aluminum art created just for you. The mission is to create one-of-a-kind art that brings a client's passion to life with a simple but yet bold approach. See them on the web at balancedimages.com or call Alessia Marcin at 804-301-5212. That's 804-301-5212 for one-of-a-kind art pieces designed with you and only you in mind. There is only one: Balanced Images.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Boston Celtic legend and NBA champion Kevin McHale, Detroit Pistons scoring machine, and now the mayor, Dave Bing, two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge, and before there was Magic and the Airness, No one dazzled them on the court like Earl the Pearl Monroe. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton, Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. Known for bringing sports legends to Southwest Florida, here's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
We're back. The sports show that talks to the legends. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show. I'm Mike Bird. Airing both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Southwest Florida. The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show, and this morning, our guest is the one and only Mr. Artis Gilmore, Hall of Famer. Feels great to say that, Hall of Famer. My goodness.
Thank you so much, Michael.
You know, we were talking a little bit about, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the transition between high school, junior college, four-year college, and pro. Talk about the maturation. You know, we talk a lot about maturation. We talk a lot about high school kids, 18, 19-year-old kids going directly from high school to the pro. Talk a little bit about your maturation process as a young man going from Gardner-Webb to Jacksonville University.
You're just an incredible difference, Michael. And looking back and kind of reflecting on that time frame, you know, at the collegiate level, you mentioned the difference between high school transition and they're able to play straight in the NBA. One thing that's so has such a significant difference is that during our 4 years, you only had 3 years of college, collegiate level, senior level you could play. Right. Freshmen were not allowed to play the varsity. And you think of just incredible, challenging young players during that time was Lou Alcindor at UCLA.
That's right.
And they were just phenomenal. In fact, what happened is because he was, you know, such an incredible figure in the sport itself, they reduced the rules. They changed the rules.
Right.
Like dunk
no
shots.
Dunk. Right.
You were not allowed to have dunk shots. And then you think about the additional, especially in the ABA, professional league, second league in professional basketball to the NBA was the ABA. And you think in terms of that transition period from the three-point play and able to move forward. And guys like Moses Malone was the first high school, Bill Willoughby, straight from high school to the professional level. And because the NBA had certain rules, they were not allowed to take underclass athletes. So you had to wait until your class had graduated 4 years. So the NBA, ABA had certain different rules taken underclassmen. And so, as I mentioned, Moses Malone happened to be one of the first to be in that category. And then you had guys like Julius Erving, George Gervin, and so on, players. And then guys like David Thompson decided to, you know, sign with the ABA, which was a great player.
Right.
So it just brought about incredible positivity. George McGinnis, you know, Mel Daniels, such a just extraordinary class. Roger Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You signed a letter of intent to play for Jacksonville University. Artis, what kind of team did they have before you got there?
Well, Jacksonville, they had a good team, very, very good team. They had beaten some very good teams like Florida State with Dave Collins, and the beat University of Florida, which had a player like Neil Walt, who was the first and second player picked in the draft when Lew Alcindor was drafted. So that kind of a team that Jacksonville had. And then the initial with me signing, it just made it a different level. I moved it up to another level of competitive. And you had one black player, the first black player to ever play was Chip Doblin. You mentioned his name earlier.
Right.
And then, of course, Pembroke Burroughs was attending Brevard Junior College. At one time, we competed against each other in junior college in the junior college national tournament. But Pembroke decided to come to Jacksonville as well, and so we had that double high pole 7-foot team.
I'm smiling, I'm laughing because long before Hakeem Olajuwon and Ralph Sampson played together at Houston in the professional ranks, the Twin Towers, the original Twin Towers, was Artis Gilmore and Pembroke Burroughs.
We played together, and he, in fact, he was instrumental in the NCAA tournament. I had filed out. We played against Iowa, one of the best teams in the tournament. And on the last shot, second shot that was taken, Pembroke happened to be at the basket to be able to put it back with a couple of seconds left, allow us to advance to the next round. But Pembroke is 30-plus years as an officer, state policeman, and he just had a tremendous career and retired for a short period of time and then came. He returned as an auxiliary officer. So he spent another 7-8 years. And then I think he's totally retired now. And he's living with his wife and I think one of his grandkids.
You know, with you and Pembroke Burroughs as the Twin Towers, and of course, you know, you had some other great players on that team. I want you to talk a little bit about them as well. But you had a significant advantage, I believe, on a lot of other teams that you faced. I mean, when they saw the two of you, it must have struck fear into your opposition.
You know, Michael, I am certain it had to. You know, I remember in a sort of a warm-up drill, we have some music playing, Sweet Georgia Brown, like the Harlem Globetrotters. And,
right.
And they had Pembroke, had Chip Doblin, which New York, street style basketball, just flipping the ball over his head like the Globetrotters and guys going across the lane, laying it up. It had to be somewhat intimidating to our opponents.
You were the first, and when I say you, I mean Jacksonville University, was the first team in the history of college basketball to average 100 points a game.
That's right.
The reason this was so significant, I want you to talk a little bit about this. The reason this was so significant, there was no three-point line back then.
Yeah, just incredible. One of the greatest coaches of all time was Dean Smith.
That's right.
Dean Smith had during this significant time in the game, what you will call the four corners, because there was no clock. You mentioned, in fact, there was no three-pointer and there was no clock. So you could hold the ball for an extended period of time. And so that's what Dean Smith created, the four corners. And I remember Charlie Scott being one of the great, just recently inducted into the Hall of Fame, who was the first black athlete for University of North Carolina, was in that four-corner process. And I remember him taking the ball and holding it. And so some of the final scores in some of those games were like 12 to 13 to the four. And so that's the reason, that's what made that averaging 100 points a game so significant for the entire year.
Before we go to break, you had a great, almost as a coach on the court in Rex Morgan. Talk a little bit about Rex and how he helped you win as a team.
A great player, transferred from Illinois State, I think it was, to Jacksonville, and he came in and he was able to step on the floor and provide just great leadership. he was, just kind of a wild beetle. but he really was able to translate intelligence on the court and communicate really well with his teammates. And so he provided that leadership for the team on the floor. And of course, he was rewarded later by signing a 3-year contract with the Boston Celtics.
He had the nickname the A-Train when he was a player, and it was certainly warranted. Mr. Artis Gilmore, the Hall of Famer, is our guest this morning with the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. We're going to pay a few more bills, Artis, and we're going to be right back with more of this conversation with you. Stay tuned.
All right, very well.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show with your host, Mike Bird.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Floormeisters of Naples. Just keeping it real.
Floormeisters of Naples, family owned and operated, specializing in wood, Cortec carpet and tile. Huge in-stock selection, great pricing, licensed and insured. 15,000 square foot showroom. Visit them today at floormeisters.com or call them at 239-596-4964. That's the Floormeisters of Naples, just keeping it real.
Are you a small business owner with at least one employee? If you answered yes and do not have an employment handbook, now is the time to call HR by Karen to help your business stay in compliance and out of trouble. Call HR by Karen for your free 1-hour business consultation today at 239-776-5919 or visit our website at hrbykaren.com. You can't spell heart without HR.
Mark and Amanda Finning with the Finning Team, powered by Keller Williams Sports and Entertainment, seek to assist you with your future property investment nationwide. The Finning Team provides the knowledge and expertise to help you in your real estate needs with a strong network of professionals and access to a variety of resources. This helps to search or market your property effectively, meticulously, and privately. Call the Finning Team now at 239-920-1848. That's 239-920-1848. The Finning Team.
When it comes to promotional products in Southwest Florida, you can trust the good people of Swag World. With so many companies offering promotional products, it's hard to know who to trust. Will they get the logo right? Will they deliver on time? Is the price correct? Well, you can trust the people of Swag World. Their number one priority is to make you and your organization shine. Their success is your success. Call them for a consultation today. The number is 877-260-0002. That's 877-260-0002. Their success is your success. Swag World, number one in Southwest Florida. And remember, when it comes to promotional products, you can trust the good people of Swag World.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Boston Celtic legend and NBA champion Kevin McHale, Detroit Pistons scoring machine, and now the mayor, Dave Bing, two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And before there was Magic and the Airness, no one dazzled them on the court like Earl the Pearl Monroe. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton, Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Southwest Florida. I'm your host,
Mike Bird, and our guest this morning is the great Artis Gilmore. He's played for many great teams. He's a Hall of Famer and an all-star in his own right. We're glad to have him on the show this morning. And before we left, we started talking a little bit about, just a little bit about the great teams that he played with at Jacksonville University. We would be remiss if we didn't discuss going to the championship and playing against UCLA. How do you remember that championship game, Artis?
Michael, I remember the early series really competing and being very competitive. We were just accelerating and playing so well against each opponent, which we spoke first. We were able to eliminate Western Kentucky, and then I think we came back in the regions, and we played Iowa, and that last second shot by Pembroke allowed us to advance. And then we played the University of Kentucky in really, really tough game, which was like ranked number one in the country. And then we eliminated them. And of course, we had St. Bonaventure in the next series in the Final Four. And I don't know whether or not we kind of lost some of our edge playing against St. Bonaventure without Bob Lanier being the leading player. And so some of that Cinderella tradition, what we thought was really kind of allowing us to draw energy from and move forward in the game, play well, we lost some of that. And so when we played, we barely eliminated St. Bonaventure. So we played in the championship game against UCLA. And then a great player and leader, as we spoke about, Rex Morgan, he received an injury, turned an ankle, and then just a combination of other things went wrong. And Sidney Wicks had just an extraordinary game. And so UCLA was able to advance against Jacksonville to the finals and win the championship.
You leave Jacksonville University and you don't go to the NBA. You go to the ABA. And how did all of that transpire?
Well, to tell you the truth, the way it was, the way I understood it, and we talked about my humble beginnings and what kind of a challenge it was during those times. And the one thing when my contract was negotiated in the ABA, one of the most important thing was that I would receive income for even if I received an injury. And the way it was explained to me, so you long term, you will be able to support your family. And that was an important thing for me, not about, you know, negotiating, competing against each other, the NBA versus the NBA. So that initial contract, the way it was written up and set up for me and my family, the way I understood it, that it would be able to support my family. And that was my decision and reasoning for signing with the ABA.
Now, you played with both leagues, obviously, and we'll get into the NBA portion of your basketball career in a minute. How would you describe the difference between the ABA and the NBA?
Well, I wouldn't say it was stale in the NBA, but they didn't have the three-point play. And
that's right.
We talk about, somebody used a term, and I think I use it in my acceptance speech at the Hall of Fame. We were Showtime before there was Showtime, the Lakers. And so I remember the three-point play and the colorful basketball, the big afros, and just the exciting brand of basketball. And then the NBA was like 24 seconds. You push the ball out in the middle for one of the big guys. Like Willis Reed had a little left-handed turnaround jump shot around the key and forced Wilt Chamberlain to make some dishes. And of course, those great players in the NBA, and because of their established and the venue they were playing in, certainly received much more exposure. But then they decided, you know, this was going to start really pushing the money issue between the two teams. And that's when they made a decision to come forward and merge.
You won championships with the Kentucky Colonels
You were an all-time great with the franchise. And, you know, a few minutes ago, we talked a little bit about tough guys, right? We talked about Maurice Lucas and Dave Collins. You played with a real tough guy. Many times, this guy had no teeth in his in the front of his mouth. I mean, he had teeth knocked out. Dan Issel, talk a little bit about that guy and his real toughness on the court.
Absolutely. Dan was just a monster of a player, and he had such versatility. Take the ball out on the perimeter, and he and Louis Dinkins was able to knock down 3 points. But Dan was really tough playing on the low post. We had the low post, high post run with Hubie Brown, and we would put Dan on the low box because he had some really nice capabilities, things that he could do down on the low box, really high post, a jump shot, and kind of a little hook, baby hook, and had a mid-range shot that he could, and so he would bring some tremendous amount of toughness and support for the Colonels during the time we were teammates.
In the 71-72 season, it was you that was the Rookie of the Year and not the doctor, Julius Erving. And even though you played in different positions, at different positions, you had to have some great duels when the doctor played for the Virginia Squires and then played for the New York Nets. Talk a little bit about the doctor, Julius Erving.
Doc was just an incredible player. You know, the story that I was told that, you know, after Julius' departure from Massachusetts, that he went to the Nets and said that he, you know, he really wanted to sign with them and everything. And Lou Konosko, who was the coach at that time, who transferred back and forth to St. John's as a head basketball coach. And the word is that they turned Julius down. So he signed with, you know, Foreman, who was the owner of the Squires. He was just taking everybody. You know, he had Charlie Scott, he had Julius Erving, and the name and recognition, which was Rick Barry.
Yeah.
And Charlie Scott, George Gervin, and just had an incredible team with the doctor there as well. And finally, they just split up the team after Julius had such a great year. You're right. It was just a super matchup between the Virginia Squires and the Kentucky Colonels. And certainly Julius was putting on just an incredible exhibition and a performance. And so I think one of the things that allowed me to move forward, because we won like 64 games that year. So that certainly would allow me to put me in that category of being the lead for the Rookie of the Year and MVP.
You know, we talk a little bit, Artis, about the ABA and the differences between the two leagues. And, you know, there were some tough guys in the ABA at one point in time. And I've watched a lot of your games. And it's a funny thing. I never saw you in an altercation. Why was that? Did people know not to mess with the A-Train?
Well, not so much as that. But, I tried to avoid those because I know the most important thing is being able to make a contribution to your team at the appropriate time.
Uh-huh.
And making tough decisions like that certainly could get you thrown out of the game, certainly hurt, create a situation where you're not contributing as a player. And that was my interpretation. But, you know, I never created a conflict, but, you know, I made sure that
you knew how to handle yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The ABA dissolves, the Nuggets, the Spurs, the Pacers, and the Jazz get absorbed into the NBA. You, in the disbursement draft in 1976, go to the initial team that wanted you from the very beginning, the Chicago Bulls. What was it like going to Chi-Town?
Oh, that was just an incredible transition, moving into a very, very large metropolis and all the things that Chicago had to offer, including some harsh weather. But it was really a great start. I mean, we started off very poorly. The year prior to that, I think they had only won 24 games in order, you know, for that dispersal draft to happen the way it turned out to actually happen. The Chicago Bulls had the pick player of the collegiate draft, which was Scott May. Scott May was
Indiana University.
Yeah, right, under Bobby Knight. And so
that's right.
I think they had that undefeated season. And then Scott ended up missing 3 years because of illness and injuries. And so we never really had that combination together. But to finish that part of the conversation after making that transition, we got off to a very poor start. And I remember later on at the end of the year, we really accelerated. We had a combination of players and we played really, really well. And we lost to the Trailblazers and then best 2 out of 3 win. And the Trailblazers advance went on and won the NBA title my first year with Chicago.
Bringing legends to Southwest Florida is what we do. This is the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. Our guest this morning, Saturday morning, is the great one, the A-Train, Mr. Artis Gilmore. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. And we'll be back with our final segment with Artis right after these commercial messages.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
The Rescue 22 Foundation is a national nonprofit organization based in Naples, Florida, that provides trained service dogs to veterans with disabilities in need. Service dogs address the many challenges veterans face associated with combat, both physical and mental. Rescue 22 makes sure there is no cost to our veterans. Please join our mission. Visit rescue22foundation.org or call 302-272-8029. All donations are 100% deductible. That's rescue22foundation.org.
Attention all golfers. Get ready to tee it up on Saturday, September 17th, in support of the Collier County chapter of the National Football Foundation. Get your team together. Tackle the Gold Course at Tiburon, located at the Ritz-Carlton in Naples. It's a shotgun scramble starting at 1 p.m. Players will enjoy a box lunch, refreshments served on the course at 4 different holes, great awards and prizes, which include a shot at a new car. To ensure your spot, go to the website at CollierNFF.flywheelsites.com. That's CollierNFF.flywheelsites.com. Under the fundraising tab, click the golf tournament where you can register to join the action. Proudly supported by Fox Sports Radio.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Boston Celtic legend and NBA champion Kevin McHale, Detroit Pistons scoring machine, and now the mayor, Dave Bing, two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And before there was magic and the airness, no one dazzled them on the court like Earl the Pearl Monroe. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these 4 Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show with Mike Bird.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. I'm your host, Mike Bird. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group serving Southwest Florida. And we are talking with the Hall of Famer this morning, Mr. Artis Gilmore. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about your days with the Chicago Bulls. You left the Bulls and went to San Antonio, went from San Antonio to Europe. Let's talk about the transition between Chicago, San Antonio, and Europe.
Wow. Well, I tell you, really surprising during the moment of transition from Chicago. I was really surprised. We were on the road traveling. My wife was expecting my fourth child. And in fact, when he was born, then I realized that I had been traded en route. She was, you know, we were traveling back from China and found out while we were moving forward, returning back to Chicago, I was traded to the San Antonio Spurs. And so after returning and getting settled and everything and moving to San Antonio, I had an opportunity to meet with George Gervin and certainly, you know, leave that extreme cold climate of Chicago. But George and I, we had some great years together, and we gave on the Western Conference. It was a really good run against the West, and we lost to the Lakers, and Lakers had to get on the plane and come to travel to Philadelphia, and they ended up losing with Moses Malone. But during that time, I spent five years in San Antonio. That was really, really a great experience. And then, you know, I was traded back at mid-year. I mean, at the beginning of the year, at the end of my fifth year, returned back to Chicago and playing half of the year with actually Michael Jordan. And then finishing up the second half of the year with the Boston Celtics and of course, Larry Bird and those great players, and watching just sort of on the sideline at the end of my career. So at the end of that little stint with the Celtics, I took the family and had a one-year experience in Italy. It was terrific, educational, and a cultural experience for myself as well as my family.
Artis, talk a little bit about this. Tell our listening audience, you're one of the few people that's actually played with both Michael Jordan at the beginning of his career and Larry Bird in the prime of his career. Talk a little bit about what made those guys so special.
Michael, just incredible drive for the game. Michael had entered his fourth year when I returned and came back, returned to Chicago, and played that little stint with him. But I recognize one thing that is excitement and energy just in practice. And they had just signed Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. Yeah. And so in that year was a growth year for the Chicago Bulls. And I remember they lost that year to Detroit. And Detroit goes back. And of course, I'm playing with Boston during that time. And you mentioned Larry was kind of past his prime, because at that particular time, it was Isaiah Thomas and, of course, the Detroit Pistons. They eliminated the Boston Celtics, which Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, and Dennis Johnson, just an outstanding cast of great players. But the prime was in for the Celtics, and the Detroit Pistons was able to take over. And of course, they won back-to-back championships against the Lakers. And then in the 90s, that's when the Bulls were able to come together, make things happen. Of course, I left out the part that Dennis Rodman was with the Detroit Pistons during that time.
Well, in 2011, the Hall came calling.
you were inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. How proud of those accomplishments for all those years. How proud were you to get that jacket?
Yes, it was just an extraordinary experience, an extraordinary long wait. And I think it was worthy. My youngest son was able to be there and part of it. My daughter, who's now passed away, with my grandkids. It just happened to be the right time and a perfect time to be enshrined in the pinnacle of my sport, which was recognized as the enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. So that moment, I mean, it's almost like your family. And it is just an extraordinary honor. And I acknowledge that as being successful in my sport.
Who spoke on your behalf at the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Well, actually, you as the individuals, I didn't recognize that process, but you could have invited as many individuals you wanted to stand with you. But because of my comfort and not knowing the process, I asked the doctor, Julius Serving, so he was the only one that, I could have invited so many more, to be there. But the nerves and the positivity environment, it turned out just wonderful for me.
That's very interesting to me, because here's a guy that for so many years you went to battle against. And you could have, just as you said, you could have selected any number of people, teammates, any number of people to usher you into the Hall of Fame. But the doctor was your guy.
Right. But not any particular person. You had to be a Hall of Famer to invite this particular individual to be the presenter. And so, as you mentioned, in fact, there was many other Hall of Famers that I could extend an invitation to, but not recognizing the process of the ceremony, and the magnitude of it, then the Dr. Julius happened to be my individual.
How do you feel about the game today, better or worse?
It's evolved. You mentioned earlier about the young, incredible, talented young high school players. Of course, not being able to compete at that level during the years that I, and the other thing is Spencer Haywood, who filed a litigation which allowed the young players underclassmen to be able to sign and perform at a high level. But I think because of the transition of the sport, basketball professionally, and the evolution of the process, you look back to the two-hand set shot and then George Mikan and hook shot and just the process itself until it just extended out from the low post player to the perimeter players, guy like Stephon Curry and, the range, unlimited range that they have. I think it's just been an evolutionary process, especially young players initially at the beginning just have just such tremendous talent. But actually, the basic fundamentals and understanding how to excel in the game is a process for them to learn and become the evolutionary thing that we talk about. And the way the game, we as dinosaurs, myself, understand it and actually understand and enjoy the process the way it moves forward, the game itself.
You were a traditional center, back to the basket. How do you feel about centers now that step out from the basket and they're shooting three-pointers with range? What's your feeling about that?
Well, that's part of that evolutionary process. I think as it became the basketball NBA become a world game, and not just a local NBA nation, and was able to reach out and collect athletes from all across the world and bring in that diversity of the game, that phase of it, certainly incorporate that part of being just, those 7-foot individual being able to go out and knock down those long range shots and just brought about additional changes in the game.
Artis, what are you doing right now? And what are some of your goals in life now that you're you've hung the uniform up?
I just recently departed from the university, working at, as an ambassador, part of it, and working as, which I will continue to do, partly radio as an analyst. And then the most important thing is right now, watching and assisting with my grandkids, watching a set of twins, a boy and a girl, 11 years old, and an extra little boy, Mr. Peyton, Peyton Gilmore Matthews, watching those individuals take advantage of the opportunity to grow and developing productive adults.
Well, you know, Artis, I, as I said from the very beginning of this interview, I have watched your game with Jacksonville at the collegiate level, with Chicago and San Antonio, and I have always been a fan of your work, and I humbly am so thankful that you took the time out of your busy schedule to pay us a visit here at the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show. This has been quite an hour. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Michael, and thank you for having me. And like I said, that thing now, going after it for my grandkids.
The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning has been the one and only, the A-Train, Mr. Artis Gilmore. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Southwest Florida. Here's hoping the rest of your day is legendary.
It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. Your host, Mike Bird. Be sure to join us next week as we sit down with another sports legend, exclusively for you to enjoy as we hear the stories, the drive, the determination behind the legendary athletes of our time. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.